Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Krishna
Krishna.
Hare Hare.
Hare Hare.
Hare Rama.
Hare Rama.
Hare Rama.
Hare Rama.
Rama Rama.
Rama Rama.
Hare Hare. Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Gopi jana valava girivara dhari. Gopi jana valava girivara dhari. Yashodanandana Braja Janaranjana. Yashodanandana Braja Janaranjana. Yamuna Tira Bunachari. Jamuna Tira Vanachari. Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Yashoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana. Yashoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana. Jamuna Tira Vanachari. Jamuna Tira Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jai 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 Sri Sri Radha Shyam Sundar ki jai. Jai Sri Sri Krishna Balaram ji ki jai. Jai Sri Sri Gaurinithai ki jai. Jai Narasimhadev Bhagawan ki jai. Jai Jagadguru Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Jai Harinam Sankirtan ki jai. Jai Samaveta Bhakta Vrinda ki jai. Jai Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Gaur Premanandi. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the devotees in cyberspace. Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bol. What is the shloka today? 118, 23. Okay, 118, 23.
Yes.
Okay, I found it. Usually, you mark these things. So
what a novel idea.
Oh, okay. So my eyesight is not this good at this age, but we'll try and do our best. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Narayanam Namaskritya.
Naram Chaiva
Narottamam. Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam. Tato Jayo Mudirayet. Nashta Praye Swabhadreshu. Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. Bhagavata Yutama Shloke. Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiti. Om Agyanta Mirandasya. Yananjana Shalakaya. Chakshurun Militam Yena. Tasmai Sri Gurve Namaha. Mukam karoti vachalam. Pangum langhayate girim. Yat kripatam aham
vande.
Sri gurun dinatarinam. Vanchakalpatarubhyascha. Kripasindubhya evacha. Kitanang Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda. Sri Advaita Gadadhara. Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna.
Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Hare Rama, Hare Rama.
Hare Rama, Hare Rama.
Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
So we're continuing our study. First Canto, Chapter 18, Shloka number 23. Aham hi prishto ryamano bhavad bhir.
Aham hi prishto ryamano bhavad bhir.
Achaksha atma vagamo trayavan. Ha patanchatma samam patatringa patatinas. Tatha samam vishnugatim vipashrita.
Tatha samam vishnugatim vipashrita.
Aham hi prishto yamano bhavat bhir.
Aham hi prishto yamano bhavat bhir.
Achaksha atma bhagamo tayavan. Nabhapatantyatma samam patatrinas. Tatha samam vishnugatim vipaschita. Aham hi prishto yamano bhavat bhir.
Aham hi prishto yamano bhavat bhir.
Chaksha atma bhagamo tayavan. Nabha patantyatma samam patatrinas. Tatha samam vishnugatim vipaschita. Certainly, Prishta, asked by you, Aryamana, as powerful as the sun, Bhavadhi, by you, Achakshe, may describe Atma Avagama. As far as my knowledge is concerned, atra, herein, yavan, so far, nabha, sky, patanti, fly, atma samam, as far as it can, patatrina, the birds, tata, thus, samam, similarly, Vishnu gatim, knowledge of Vishnu, vipaschita, even though learned. Translation by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. O rishis, who are as powerfully pure as the sun, I shall try to describe to you the the transcendental pastimes of Vishnu, as far as my knowledge is concerned. As the birds fly in the sky, as far as their capacity allows, so do the learned devotees describe the Lord as far as their realization allows. Responsibly, please. O Rishis, who are as powerfully pure as the sun, I shall try to describe to you the transcendental pastimes of Vishnu as far as my knowledge is concerned. As the birds fly in the sky,
as far as their capacity allows,
so do the learned devotees describe the Lord as far as their realization allows. Srila Prabhupada's purport. The Supreme Absolute Truth is unlimited. No living being can know about the unlimited by his limited capacity. The Lord is impersonal, personal, and localized. By his impersonal feature, he is all-pervading Brahman. By his localized feature, he is present in everyone's heart as the Supreme Soul. And by his ultimate personal feature, he is the object of transcendental loving service by his fortunate associates, the pure devotees. The pastimes of the Lord in different features can only be estimated partly by the great learned devotees. So, Srila Sutta Goswami has rightly taken this position in describing the pastimes of the Lord as far as he has realized. Factually, only the Lord himself can describe himself, and his learned devotee also can describe him as far as the Lord gives him the power of description. So this is a very important verse, and it's a very appropriate verse, because as I was reading it, I was thinking this applies to us, to all of us. First of all, O Rishis, so you are the Rishis, I'm speaking to you. You are the Rishis who are learned and knowledgeable of Krishna and are powerfully pure, because our lives are purified. We're following the same lifestyle as the Rishis. The same lifestyle in terms of worship, the same lifestyle in terms of prasad, honoring prasad, the same lifestyle in discussing knowledge and topics of Krishna. So you are the Rishis, and I shall try to describe to you today, as I'm seated here, the transcendental pastimes of Vishnu as far as my knowledge is concerned. So my knowledge may be insignificant, and I may consider myself insignificant, and we may all consider ourselves insignificant, because das, 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 anu das, because we take the position of the servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord. But when we're connected to the supremely significant Sri Krishna Bhagavan, then the insignificant also becomes significant by that connection to the Supreme Lord. So here Sutta Goswami is explaining this. He's sharing his realization to the Rishis. He's taking a humble position. They've requested him to speak, and he's feeling very honored that they're allowing him to speak and they're wanting to hear from him. And so he's taking a very humble position, and he's glorifying them, and he's praying to the Lord that he'll be able to speak something for their benefit. So I am also doing the same. Then he gives them a very nice analogy that as the birds fly in the sky as far as their capacity allows, so in the same way, devotees describe the Lord as far as their realization allows. And this is very interesting because Srila Prabhupada, in the purport, he says, the learned devotee can describe him, Krishna, as far as the Lord gives him the power of description. So we can only speak by being empowered by the Lord. We can only describe the Lord when he gives us that understanding and that knowledge. And this, of course, he explains in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 15, verse 15. Sarvasya chaham hridi sannivishto matya smritir jnanam apohanam cha. So Krishna says, I am seated in everyone's heart. Matya smritir jnanam. And from me comes knowledge. From me comes remembrance. From within the heart, Krishna has three shaktis. The smriti shakti, he gives you remembrance. What remembrance does he give you? He gives you the remembrance that you're das, 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 anudas. You're the servant of the servant of the servant. He gives you the remembrance that you are pure spirit soul. Servant of the Lord. Pure spirit, you're not this body. That your home is in the spiritual sky, not here in the material realm. So he gives us that remembrance, and he gives us knowledge. The knowledge of the Shastra. The knowledge of the Rishis. The knowledge coming down in Parampara, the knowledge that we also received from Srila Prabhupada. So these two shaktis, the Smriti Shakti and the Jnana Shakti, is coming from Krishna. And to the extent that any devotee can remember and can speak about Krishna and remember that he is Das, 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 Anudas, and live that he's Das, 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 Anudas, moment to moment to moment to moment, not just speak a slogan that he meant das, 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 anu das, but then puffed up in his ordinary dealings. We have to become living truth. We have to live the Shastra. We have to live the instructions. So Krishna gives us the knowledge and the remembrance so that we can become living truth. But he also has a third shakti. That's the Apohan Shakti. The Apohan Shakti is the covering potency. He will cover us so that we don't remember that we're spirit soul, that we're the servant of the Vaishnavas and servant of the Lord. So we don't have knowledge of our spiritual nature. So the question that someone might rise, the question would arise, why would Krishna cover a living entity when it's against his own desire? Because Krishna desires that everyone come back home, back to Godhead. As he says in Bhagavad Gita, 10th shloka, 10th verse, Dadami buddhi yogam tam yena mam upayanti te. Again, from the heart, Krishna gives us the intelligence how to live and prosecute bhakti yoga. How to become bhakti yogas. Yena mam upayanti te, so you can come back to me. Krishna wants us to come back to him so badly, so dearly. Why? Because he misses us so much. He's feeling so much separation. And that is due to his intense love for each and every one of us. But if we do not want to surrender our love and offer it to Krishna, but we want to use our minute independence to take advantage of the material energy and exploit it for our own enjoyment, then Krishna will cover us so that we can live this life of illusion and delusion. Because when we remember that we're spirit soul, there's no way that we can enjoy material energy. When we remember that we're the servant of the servant of the servant, there's no way we can be puffed up or have a false ego. So Krishna will cover us because he knows our heart. Oh, you want to enjoy material energy? then the only way you can do it is if I cover you, so you don't realize that you're a pure spirit. You forget. You don't have that knowledge anymore. You're thinking, I'm the body. I'm American. I'm Indian. I'm from this country or that country. I'm a man. I'm a woman. We forget these things. So this is also coming from Krishna. So everything is coming from Krishna. Everything that we're conscious of, everything we say and do is coming from Krishna. He either gives us the knowledge and the remembrance, so everything we say and do is in the mood of this, an eternal spiritual being, servant of the servant of the servant, or he covers us, and then we act out as if we're this body. So, this is the point of the shloka. And by the way, this is the appearance day of Devananda Pandit, a great devotee of the Lord, a very dear associate of Nityananda, Lord Nityananda. And he lived this shloka. He was the person who exemplified the shloka so much. He was so humble, so wonderfully devoted to the Lord and the service of the Vaishnavas. So here in the purport, Prabhupada is explaining how the absolute truth is unlimited, and therefore no living entity can possibly know the unlimited, because we have a limited capacity. So in the shloka, the example is given, a bird can only fly according to their capacity, in other words, according to their strength. When they get tired, they have no more energy left, then they can no longer fly. So that's called a limited capacity. So we also have a limited capacity. But our limited capacity can be extended by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, who's residing in our heart. But that capacity can be extended only when we desire it to be extended. When we desire to take the position of Das, 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 Anudas. When we desire to always constantly remember that I am pure spirit soul. I have nothing to do with this material realm, but I am pure spiritual being connected to the Supreme Being, and my duty and my goal in life, my raison d'etre, as they say in French, is just to serve the Lord. So when we're in that consciousness, then we're no longer insignificant, because we're connected to the supremely significant. So our lives become very significant, because we become the representatives of the Lord to share this understanding with the conditioned souls, to bring them out of the illusion and out of the delusion, so that they can also get the mercy of the Lord and come to understand their eternal constitutional position. I like very much how Prabhupada describes here in the purport the three aspects of the Lord. Brahmeti Paramatmi Bhagavan Iti Sabjate, that shloka from the Bhagavatam, that the Lord has his three features. So the impersonal feature, the Brahman. So we sometimes criticize the impersonalists. They only understand the impersonal feature of the Lord. But let's be realistic. Number one, the devotees are the well-wishers of every living entity. And those conditioned souls who are only can understand the Lord as Brahman, it's okay. It's described as one of the aspects of the Lord. It's not the highest. But they're on the path. They have gained realization that the Lord is one, the Lord is everywhere, the Lord is Brahman, he's like the sunshine. They haven't understood the source, they haven't understood the sun, they haven't understood Bhagwan, but at least they understand that. So their misconception is to think that they can also become the Lord. For that, we criticize them. We criticize them because they're thinking I and the Lord are one. But if they don't think like that, and they just have an understanding that the Lord is everywhere, he's Brahman, he's spiritual energy, then they're correct in that understanding. The devotees have a deeper understanding, much deeper understanding. We understand Ishvara Paramakrishna Satchidananda Vigraha Anadi Radi Govinda Sarvakarana Karanam, that the supreme controller of all other controllers, there are so many controllers throughout the universe, but the supreme controller of all other controllers is Sri Krishna. And he is Satchidananda Vigraha. His form is eternal, full of knowledge and bliss. It's a pure spiritual form. Anadi, he's beginningless. But when he wants to begin the creation, Anadi Adi Govinda, he begins as Govinda playing on his flute. And in this way, he empowers Lord Brahma to become the secondary creator. The Govinda gives Brahma everything he needs to know to bring it about the Srishti, the creation. So therefore, Sarvakarana Karanam, we understand that Krishna, Govinda, is the cause, the supreme cause of every other cause that ever existed in existence. So this is the higher understanding. So this is the understanding that's coming in Parampara. This is the understanding that Prabhupada is giving us. So when Prabhupada gives us this understanding, it's not just meant to be intellectualized. That knowledge and understanding cannot be just remain cerebral. It has to come down to the heart level. We have to become living truth. We have to see through the eyes of Shastra, Shastra Chakshus. We have to understand that we're spirit soul. We have to behave as if we're spirit soul. We have to become living truth moment to moment to moment to moment. And this is the process known as bhakti yoga or sadhana bhakti. In the process of sadhana bhakti, we're coming out of the delusion and we're living the life of the rishis. We're not at the level of the rishis, we're not at the pure devotee level, but we're performing the same activities, living the same lifestyle. Our focus and our goal is similar. Therefore, we're considered to be rishis. We may not think of ourselves as rishis, but Krishna sees us in that way. Krishna sees us as pure devotees, purified devotees. We're not the 100% pure devotees, but we're the purified devotees on the path. Das, 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 anudas. So we are anudas. Our position is anudas. Anu is a very interesting word, has different meanings. First meaning is anu means microscopic, atomic, like an atom, very small. It also means anushadan, the das that's following in the footsteps of the other dasas. So who are the other dasas? Das, 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 anudas. That's Prabhupada. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Bhakti Vinod Thakur. They are the dasas. Because to become das, to become a pure devotee of the Lord, is the highest understanding of spiritual life, that we're actually the servant of the Lord, and everything we do is for His pleasure, for His happiness, for His enjoyment. Everyone in the spiritual realm is in that mood. Even the gopis are in that mood. Of course, their level of understanding is deeper. Their heart is much more involved. But they are serving, serving, serving for the pleasure of the Lord. And this should be our mood. We're only serving. Everything we do is a service for the Supreme Lord. A service for Radha and Krishna. Service to the Acharyas. A service to the spiritual master to please them. So that they may give their blessings to us. Because we only exist by the blessings of the pure devotees. On our own, we're like an ant. We have no Shakti. Prabhupada, once, it was a very nice example he gave. It was an evening class, and he said, "You do not even have the power to see." And then he told one devotee to turn off the lights. And it was totally dark in the temple room. What you can see now? You don't even have the power to see. Turn the light back on. Now you can see. By Krishna's energy, there's the sun. By Krishna's energy, there's electricity. Now you can see. But your own power of seeing is zero, hampered. So we don't have power, but we can become empowered by the Lord. So here in the purport, Srila Prabhupada also says something very wonderful. The pastimes of the Lord in different features can only be estimated partly by the great learned devotees. So even though we're great learned devotees, we can only know a fraction of the glories of the Lord. But that fraction of the glories of the Lord, we can glorify. For example, we have our Radha Shyam Sundar. This is the incarnation of the Lord in marble, in stone. We also have prasadam, which is the incarnation of the Lord as foodstuffs. And we have the Mahamantra, which is the sound incarnation of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Prabhupada explained one time that when we chant the names of the Lord, Krishna is dancing on our tongue. We are with the Lord when we're with the holy name. And that's why japa is so important, because japa is our intimate, quality, personal time alone with the Lord. Just me and the Lord, nobody else. Our quality personal time. Just like if the spiritual master calls you into his room, and you go in and he wants to share something with you, it's your quality personal intimate time with the spiritual master. It's so wonderful. And when you come out, all the devotees come, oh, what did he say? And they want to hear the nectar that the spiritual master spoke to you in that intimate moment. So similarly, when we're chanting the japa, we have our intimate time alone with Krishna. And that time should be savored. That time we should actually make it an intimate time. Because our relationship with the Lord is intimate. Intimate means it's private. It's not public. A loving relationship is intimate between the lover and the beloved. It's an intimate, loving relationship. And if you take, for example, I take a grihastha couple. They have their loving, intimate relationship. But if the husband tells his friends and relates the intimate pastimes he has with his wife will be very angry. What? You told them these things? What's the matter with you? Because when the intimate and private becomes public, then it's no longer beautiful. So our relationship with Krishna is very beautiful when it's private, when it's intimate. And I'll share a wonderful pastime with you, Srila Prabhupada, to exemplify this point. So in 1972, there was some difficulty in America. There's always difficulties in America. And the GBC and the devotees, they didn't see eye to eye. And Prabhupada was very disturbed by this. Now far, far away in our Hong Kong yatra, our godbrother Buddhijan was alone with preaching with his wife. And of course he was getting the news from America. And then Prabhupada said that he was coming on a tour back to India via Hong Kong and Japan. So Buddhijan, he went down to one of his life members that he had made, a very nice Indian gentleman who had a jewelry shop. And he said, can you make a gold ring for my spiritual master? And inside you inscribe Jai ISKCON. So when Prabhupada came, Bhujan gave him this ring. And he told him that no matter what happens, I love your ISKCON, I love your movement, you know, I'm completely following to the best of my ability all of your teachings. So Prabhupada, he wore the ring, was very pleased. And he stayed for some days, and Bhujan was in ecstasy. But then came time for Prabhupada to leave, to go to Japan. So then Bhujan said, Srila Prabhupada, I've been alone for so long in Hong Kong, without any association, now you're leaving, do you mind, can I come with you to Tokyo? And Prabhupada said, yeah, okay, you can come. So they went to Tokyo, and Tokyo, the temple president was Sudama. So one morning, after breakfast, Prabhupada was sitting in his quarters, and Sudama was behind Srila Prabhupada, massaging him. Prabhupada always took his massage. Prabhupada said, three things keep me alive. Number one, my morning walk. Number two, my massage every day. Number three, Ayurvedic medicine. These things kept him alive. So then Sudama noticed while Prabhupada was sitting there that he had this gold ring on. Said, oh, Srila Prabhupada, you have this beautiful gold ring. Who gave it to you? Now Bhujan was sitting in front against the wall. Prabhupada was sitting here. And Sudama was behind. So Bhujan was thinking, oh, what's Prabhupada going to say? And Prabhupada's head was down, and he didn't respond. He didn't answer. So the massage went on, and then again, Sudama said, oh, Srila Prabhupada, who gave you that ring? The second time he asked. So Prabhupada looked up, and he looked straight into Bhujan's eyes, and then he spoke to Sudama and he said, oh, someone. And Bhujan was thinking, wow, this is so intimate. Prabhupada's sharing an intimate pastime with me. It's only between us two. No one else knows. He wrote this in his book. I forget the name of the book. But what is it? Yeah. Anyway, so I just love this pastime because it shows the intimate relationship of love that we have. Now, in the West, our society is known as the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, right?
Yes, yes.
But not in India. In India, it's called Antarashtriya Krishna Bhavnamrita Sangha. And what is the difference? Bhavnamrita. The meaning of Krishna Bhavanamrita, Amrit means nectar, and Bhavana means your feelings or your emotions. So in India, this is known as the International Society of those, International Sangha, of those devotees who are tasting the nectar of their feelings for Krishna. Krishna Bhavanamrita Sangha. But there's no such word as Bhavanamrit in any Western language. It's a Sanskrit word, and so therefore it's in Hindi and Bengali and all the other daughter languages in India. So Prabhupada, the closest thing that he could translate to was Krishna consciousness. Bhavanamrita means the nectar you're tasting of the feelings for Krishna. So the difference is that Krishna consciousness is cerebral, it's intellectual, it's of the mind, it's on the conscious. We're thinking of Krishna. We're always conscious of Krishna. But Bhavanamrita means we're tasting the nectar, our feelings, our emotions. And Prabhupada once taught me, he said, Krishna consciousness is an affair of the heart. So, bhakti yoga. We're opening up our hearts to show gratitude to Krishna, gratitude to the spiritual master, gratitude to the parampara for that knowledge that we received that changed our life, changed our lives dramatically, that even in the greatest difficulty, we don't veer off the goal, the destination. We know the destination, we know the goal, we know that we're spirit souls. We just have to inculcate that knowledge and live it moment to moment to moment to moment. And as we do, Krishna gives us more and more knowledge, more and more remembrance, more and more buddhi, more and more understanding. So it all comes from Krishna, but we have to do our part first. And what is our part? Trinadapi sunichena. We have to become more humble than the grass. Tarodiva sahishnura. We have to be more tolerant than the tree. What does it mean to be more tolerant than the tree? Let me explain. Amanina amanadena. How we can become more tolerant than the tree and how we can become more humble than the grass is explained in the third line of the shloka by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Amanina. I don't want any honor and respect for anybody. This is not my desire. I don't desire any honor or respect. Therefore, if people don't honor and respect me, I'm happy. I don't want it. They're not giving it. Wonderful. Terrific. And if someone does honor and respect me, because I don't want honor and respect, I give it to my spiritual master. Oh no, I'm fool number one. Everything I know comes from Srila Prabhupada. He's the one that deserves all the honor and respect, not me. So this is how we become more tolerant than the tree. And if someone speaks ill of me, bad, they're not the well-wisher, but it doesn't disturb me because I don't want honor and respect. So this is how we become tarodiva sahishnara, more tolerant than the tree. And how to become more humble than the grass? By giving all honor and respect to everybody else. We have to honor and respect every other living entity. I remember Prabhupada taught me. He said it so clearly. A Vaishnava respects even an ant. That's what he told me. Even an ant we respect. Migari the hunter is a perfect example. After he became initiated by Narada Muni, previously he was killing animals and deriving pleasure from killing them. Now, he wouldn't even walk on the ground without moving the ants over so that he wouldn't cause them any distress or any anxiety. This is Vaishnava. And when we're in that mood, that we're giving all honor and respect to others, and we don't desire any honor and respect for us, then Kirtaniya Sadahari, we will always be able to chant the holy name of the Lord, and the Lord will always accept our chanting. This is a very important point. The Lord has to accept our chanting. We think that automatically I chant and it's accepted. Not if we're in the wrong mood, not if we're committing offenses, not if I'm doing it for my own personal benefit. I want to become free from past karma, that's why I'm chanting. No. We have to be doing it as a service. We have to be doing it to glorify the Lord. So in the mood of Trinadapi Sunichena Tarodiva Sahishnara Amanina Amanadena Kirtaniya Sadahari, then Krishna will accept our chanting. And when he accepts our chanting, we'll be able to chant eternally. Sometimes we wonder, why is it that devotees who came to our movement and were chanting, and then all of a sudden they're no longer here. What happened? They left. They blooped. That's the word we used to use. Because Krishna showed them the door. Or Lord Chaitanya showed them the door. They were doing something wrong. Maybe they were offensive. I mean, there may be so many reasons why someone leaves. But it's not that we leave of our own volition. We're shown the door. Krishna says, or Lord Chaitanya says, you're not ready for this bhakti yoga just quite yet. You know, you don't have the right mood. You don't have the right mentality. Trinadapi sunichena, turoriva sahishnana, amanina amanadena. It's required. We have to become living truth. So here in the shloka, what was the word? Atma Abhagama, as far as my knowledge is concerned. So the knowledge is given by Krishna, Mata Smriti Jnana. So as far as my knowledge is there, that means as far as how Krishna has empowered me. The Dami Buddhi Yogam Tam, he has given me that intelligence, he has given me that understanding. So what I look for when I associate with devotees, I don't look to see what is their status in the society, what they've accomplished, what they've done. I look to see Krishna's mercy. How has Krishna blessed them? How humble are they? How sweet are they? How gentle and kind are they? Then I see Krishna has blessed these devotees. And so I want to associate with those devotees that have been blessed by Krishna, so that I can be blessed by associating with such devotees. How are we doing for time? The clock is behind me.
5 minutes to 9.
5?
9 minutes to 9.
Okay. Yeah, okay. So I'm just going to bring it to a close. Basically, just let me repeat the verse. O Rishis, who are as powerfully pure as the sun, and that I consider to be all other Vaishnavas. You're all Rishis compared to me. Why? Because I'm Das, 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 Anu Das. You're my Prabhu. I can't call you Prabhu and then think that you're not better than me, not higher than me, not more exalted than me. So we can see everyone as Rishis. They may not live up to that standard. That's another thing. I can see someone as a Rishi, but they may not live up to that standard. Then I take my distance, that's all. I take distance. I want to associate with those devotees that Krishna is giving their mercy to. So, I shall try to describe to you the transcendental pastimes of Vishnu as far as my knowledge is concerned. So I've tried to do that. I've tried to describe, as far as my understanding is concerned, my knowledge is concerned, as much as Krishna has allowed me to understand and to speak. And as the birds fly in the sky as far as their capacity allows, so do the learned devotees describe the Lord as far as their realization allows. So I hope that I've shared some realization with you and you've gotten some benefit from this talk. And so I'll just end there and ask if there's any questions. Yes, Prabhu.
Thank you for a very nice class. Thank you for a very nice class. I understand that Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita that of the senses I am the mind, and he describes that the mind does three things, thinking, feeling, and willing. So if Krishna is doing the thinking, feeling, and willing, are we only allowed to accept or reject those thoughts, feelings, and desires?
Can you repeat what he said?
I'm asking.
Okay, let me just see if I understood you. You're talking about the mind.
Yes.
And so that our mind is always getting in the way.
What I'm saying is Krishna says that of the senses, I am the mind. And then it describes in the Bhagavad Gita that the mind does three things, thinking, feeling, and willing.
Okay, so the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is telling Arjuna, you have to control your mind. Mm. And then Arjuna says, oh, Krishna, that's okay for you to say. But for me, it's easier to control the wind than it is to control the mind. That's what Arjuna says, right?
Yes.
And Krishna says, undoubtedly, it's not easy, but it can be done. So, in the next shloka, Krishna explains how you can control the mind. In the very next shloka, which is chapter 6, shloka number 35, by suitable practice and detachment. And then Prabhupada in the purport, he describes what is the suitable practice and the detachment. The suitable practice that Prabhupada describes in that shloka is shravanam, hearing. Now, many of you might have thought that the suitable practice was kirtanam, but it's not. The suitable practice is shravanam, because kirtanam is dependent on shravanam. Smaranam is dependent on shravanam. Let me explain. If the shravanam is good, the kirtanam will be good. And the remembrance, the smaranam, will also be good. But if the shravanam is bad, inattentive, will the kirtanam be good? No. Inattentive is offensive. So when the shravanam is bad, the kirtanam is bad also. And then there's no smaranam. Zero smaranam. So the suitable practice is shravanam. We have to learn to hear with an attentive mind, with full focus. That's the suitable practice that Prabhupada describes in that purport. Not once does he mention kirtan. The whole purport is about hearing. And hearing means, shravana means, that sound vibration enters into the ear, penetrates the consciousness, and goes into the heart. That's hearing. If it doesn't enter into the heart and there's a change of heart, then you haven't heard, that it just went in this ear and out this ear, but you haven't heard. You may have listened, but you didn't hear. There was no shravanam process going on. And that's why sometimes when you ask people, when you're chanting japa, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Yama, Yama, Rama Rama, and you get to the end of the round, sometimes you ask people, do you ever have the experience you get to the round and you can't remember how you got to the end? Just because you didn't hear. You can't remember because you didn't hear, because the shravanam didn't go into the heart. When in ear, one ear, out the other, the mind was completely taking over. So the mind destroyed the shravanam. So we have to learn to hear correctly. So shravanam is the suitable practice. And detachment, Prabhupada explains, detachment is becoming attached to Krishna, attached to the process of devotional service, attached to chanting, attached to honoring prasad. That we're all equally easily attached to. Attached to the kirtan, attached to just the books, attached to the deities. So that's how we become detached from material energy. But the suitable practice is shravanam. We really have to learn how to hear, focus. And we have to practice that. That's the sadhana. The sadhana for the Kali Yuga, for the Bhakti Yoga process, is Harinam Sankirtan. So you have to hear that Harinam Sankirtan.
Thank you very much.
Hare Krishna. Thank you. Very, very wonderful question. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Thank you.